Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. It's Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast on this blessed Friday, and I'm grateful for all of you who are listening to this broadcast. No matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, we just welcome you all to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over there, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you, glory to God. So, once again, it is another blessed Friday in the Lord. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. I'll be joining them. Amen. Thank God once again for all of you who are listening to this broadcast this day. Praise be to God. And so as we await for my brother to come on to head this off, once again, I want to take the opportunity to thank God for all of you that's listening to the broadcast. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, your loved ones, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to take this time, as we wait for my brother to come on, to put out this particular word before you, and the word is jesting. Jesting. And jesting is being defined as an utterance, as a jeer or quip, intended to be taken as mockery or humor. Now, the Bible tells us as Christians, he said in the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, said, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let us not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of. Now, in the jesting, and we're told to be, you know, this excess humoring, making everything funny when it's not, joking about the wrong things, can have consequences. Now, I know many of you have been hearing about the coronavirus and the situation with the Pro Basketball League, and they suspended the games so far, amen, because one particular player had tested positive for coronavirus. So they shut down the season. But here's the interesting thing now, even the more, and I hate that this player got it, but the next day, now his teammate is tested positive and came out from the locker room. The man that was first tested positive, his name was Rudy Gobert, first NBA player to be tested positive. And what happened was, I think a couple of days or so before he was tested positive, Rudy already had missed some games, a couple of games, I think, because I think they thought he had the flu. And so in the midst of that time, before Rudy found out he had a coronavirus, he thought he had the flu, he was being too playful with it. What they did a news conference, and they was talking to him. I don't know if they talking to him about the coronavirus or him having the flu. And what he did when he got up from the chair, and, you know, in front of him was the microphones, he'd get up with his hands stretched out like he wasn't touching nothing. And then all of a sudden, he started rubbing up on stuff. Now, he's playing around with this thing, okay? And then they said, you know, he, in the locker room, rubbing all on his teammates and rubbing out on their belongings, and they was uncomfortable with it. And so now, one of his teammates had the coronavirus. Now, mind you, I think he did all this before he knew he had the coronavirus, but even when they thought he may have had the flu, you know, even when you think you have the flu, you know, that's not good to do. That's not wise. You you're making a joke or a mockery out of something you don't need to. You understand what I'm saying? And so, therefore, now his teammate, which is, I forgot his name, one of the players on the team, now he's tested positive for coronavirus. Now, of course, Rudy come back and he gave an apology for doing that, you know. And but what it was, he had took this virus, he took the sickness and all that for granted. He was making jokes about it. And I say that to say this. I've been hearing a lot of people making jokes about it, even here in Mississippi, even on my job. And now we got a case here in Mississippi where two people have been found to have been diagnosed with the coronavirus. And it's amazing how people will make jokes of things like that until it started hitting home. Now, don't get me wrong, it's some of them I'm still hearing making jokes about it. And the thing about it is that it's easy to make a joke about something until you in it. You understand what I'm saying? So I say this to, especially to us as believers. You know, it's not good to joke about everything. And then you can go overboard too much. And I even hear believers, you know, I heard one today, who's supposed to be a minister, made it sort of like a joke per se, but he was directing it at someone else. And see, this thing is serious. Now, once again, I'm not telling you this for you to be afraid. If you are in Christ, amen, you're in the secret place with the Lord, you're protected in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you go out there and do stuff unwise, but it is not for us to be in panic or in fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are in the protection of the Lord. And see, this coronavirus now has caused a nationwide panic. Oh, yeah, a panic. I didn't say a concern, a panic. People in the stores buying up whatever, all kind of sanitizing and stuff like that, which we already should have been sanitizing ourselves anyhow, but now even the more. And now, you know, it's a panic. And now these rules and things, like even on my job that they want you to do now, that make you go, say what? Because it has become a panic, okay? And the Bible said God has not given us spirit of fear. So for us as believers, see, I'm not making a joke out of it, okay? I know it's serious. That's why you hear, I'm not making no joke out of it. But I'm not going to be in fear towards it if I remain in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? And see, these things are to come, and there's some things that God is permitting and that will continue to be until the nation humble themselves and cry out to Almighty God. But I say that tonight, once again, they gave you the example of the NBA player who took it for granted, who joked about it, who went among his teammates, rubbing all over them when he had the sickness. And, you know, of course, once again, I think they thought he may have had a flu or something like that. But even if you just had the flu, you know, you have to care enough for other people not to do that. And see, sometimes you find out some people, and I hate to say, some professing Christians, they'll joke about anything. And everything is not to be made of a joke. We have to take things seriously and be concerned about other people not to do such things. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. Brother, God bless.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. God, good. Again, to another day, we share the grace of our Lord and the testimony, and we fellowship together on the air. That's good. Great, great. Good. Thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for this day. Brother, I'm just sharing with the people that gave him the word jesting. And, you know, we can try to make everything humor or mockery or funny, and everything is not funny. I don't know, brother, if you heard about the NBA player that was tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah.
Now his teammate is tested positive. And what happened was, when he was sick, and this is why we're bringing up jesting to the people, because everything is not to be made a joke of. See, he already had missed some games, I don't know, a couple games, so I believe they thought he had the flu. And so when they was interviewing him, and he was sitting at the podium, you know, and the microphone's in front of him, and he was making a joke out of stuff. And so he got up from the chair, and first he had his arm stretched out like he not trying to touch nothing. Then he's going to take and start rubbing all on the mic. You know, he's making a joke of this. So I don't know if it's shortly after that or what. He ended up in the locker room with his teammates. And what he started doing, he started rubbing all over them, rubbing all over their belongings. And they was getting uncomfortable with him doing that, you know, being sick. Now, this is at the time they didn't know he had the virus. But even if you think you got the flu, you don't need to do that. But he was making a whole joke. He was making a whole joke and mockery about it. And so now his teammate, Donovan Mitchell, that's the guy's name, Donovan Mitchell has tested positive now. And so now he issued a letter of apology, you know, for doing it. Because when they was getting ready to play, the team he played for, Utah, when they were getting ready to play Oklahoma, and the doctor come running out there talking to the referee and the coaches, that's when they stopped the game. That's when they shut the NBA season down that day. But however, Chris Paul, a player from the other team, he walked over to the Utah bench and he asked him, he said, "Oh, how's Rudy doing? What's wrong with Rudy?" And one of the guys on the bench said, "Get away from us." And Chris Paul didn't understand why he said that to him, but, you know, now you know later on why he said that. And so the point I was getting over to the people is that, you know, the Lord talks us, to, especially as Christians, about jesting. He said it's not convenient. He told us, especially in the Bible, he said, and, you know, put away the foolish talking. And some people, and I've heard some Christians, and you know, I listen to the day, you know, people was making jokes about the coronavirus, you know, on my job. But now we got two people diagnosed here in Mississippi now. And then all of a sudden, you know, you hear even one I heard as a minister making it a, quote, particular joke. But he was directing it at someone else. And so, therefore, you know, it's amazing, brother, how people make fun and light and mockery of certain things. And I'm not telling people about this to have them in fear, okay? If you are in Christ, thank God for being in Christ, okay? But when you make a mockery or make a joke of it, per se, and light of it, it's easy for people to do that until they're in the situation. When they're in the situation, and they're suffering. And that's what I brought up today, right now, before you came on. I was talking about jesting. And as Christians, we need to understand that everything is not made to be a joke. Everything is not funny.
Yeah.
Everything is not humorous, okay? And God does not get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I was looking at that little episode with the basketball player in Utah. He was they had him highlighted a little bit on the news where he was doing that. Well, you know, that's quite true. Sometimes people, you know, do unwise things and treat things light in there. And it kind of backfires on them. A lot of stuff that we make light of. So we have to be very, very, very careful and wise then about that. Very serious things. We're glad today that we are still here, and we say, and we dedicate this hour and a half in broadcast to our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious work of the kingdom of God and to the saints everywhere in every nation. And we want to say to all of the nations, especially that where this pandemic virus may be having its greatest negative effect, we want you to say to all the people in those parts that we are praying and believing God that that there would be a change, and praying that that these things would not do the greater harm to you, your family, or your city, or your nation, and that the Lord will work a miracle to change the conditions of this virus. In saying that, of course, we wish everyone well, their family and their loved ones, because it could be, you know, a worldwide, actually, sorrow and weeping of loss of many, many, many people's lives. So But the other part of this is what I read on the broadcast last night about what the angel messenger said in the 28th message that he brought a word from heaven. He says quite a while ago about the Lord will send a scourge and pestilence, and he'll send plagues in the land. And the Lord spoken a lot in the past to Israel why he allowed these pestilence, these things to hit the land. So let us be fully aware that the Lord has allowed and permitted and said that he would send pestilence in the land. And we know that it is all about them rejecting, ignoring, and casting aside the true and the living God. And once we ignore and make fun and cast away the living God who has made us and created us, and we ignore his promises and ignore his word and ignore his law as being the God that's over us or over our nation, over our city. He said he is a jealous God. And he told Israel, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. I made you. And it seemed that we're in a day where people are making light of the scriptures and of the Bible and of the things of God. And so when you do that, just like Israel, they was hit with various plagues and pestilence to make them to return and bow back unto the living God. I'm afraid America's in that same situation, as well as the nations of the world. Is his phone acting up?
No, I can hear you pretty good, brother. I can hear you pretty good.
Okay. And I know from the biblical side and God's point of view, a lot of people do not understand why pestilence and plagues and disease come. And as we need to understand, we don't understand the spiritual laws of God concerning judgment and justice. When a nation go astray, ignore, and begin to turn away from the standard of the living God and his word, and ignore the Bible, and ignore the truth, and go what the Bible called a whoring after other gods. Just like Israel went a whoring constantly, Israel continually with a hard-hearted, stiff-necked, rebellious nation, and they will go after a whoring of a god. Did Jeremiah call them a whore's forehead? He called them backsliding heifers. He said they were hard-hearted, stiff-necked. So Israel became that way, and they will go after these idolatrous, paganist, heathen gods and their ways. And when they would do that, the jealous and the living God would allow among them things that were chasing them, things that would turn their hearts back to him. So he's jealous. God is a God of jealousy. And America is his top nation, his top Christian nation, and he founded America. Jesus Christ founded and established America to delight and rejoice in him, to be a light to the nations of the earth. And now America has faltered and turned her back and done the same thing that Israel of old. And now she's receiving some of the pestilence that hit Egypt and came when they served these other false gods. So let's be aware now, the Lord will allow justice and judgment to hit nations that turn their back on him.
Amen. Amen.
This is
You're right.
The reality, the truth that people don't want to hear. If you read the Bible, it's full of it, rebellion against Jehovah and against his laws and against his people. It caused divers sorrow and grief until they turned back to him. America, the beautiful, the bountiful, chosen top nation in the end, God raised up America. And this is why people don't understand. When God Almighty raised up a nation for a particular reason, like he did America, to be a standard and a light a Christian light barrier to the whole world. America is, in the God's plan, is called the center of world deliverance, a nation that's the greatest nation in the end time prophecy, to stand out among all nations in the world, that they may come to this place and come and hear and find the great and only true Savior and hear the gospel and have freedom to seek, pursue happiness in this land, especially spoken in scripture called the United States of America. So the Lord Jesus is alive, and we bring these pestilence upon our lives, and the people are wondering, oh, this is just terrible. It is so terrible. Yeah, it is terrible, because it doesn't have to be this way. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So America, just like China, was seen to be the center of where this disease was, you know, was coming, and it seems to be, you know, where it seemed to begin. I don't know where it began there. Excuse me. I can't talk right now. See you later. People are constantly coming and selling some. I guess I got to move to Mississippi where you don't have that problem. But
Hey, amen. Come on, brother. Bring your acting.
Oh, you know, when the prophets, before anything happened in a nation, devastation or even blessings, the move of the Holy Spirit, there comes intercessors and prophecy to that nation. God does not allow or permit or does not let disasters or destruction or sorrow hit a nation until he first warned that nation, because God is a just and a loving God, and he's a compassionate God, so he always warns. Because the Lord God does not delight in destruction. He doesn't delight in grief and sorrows. He delights to benefit and bless his nation. But when a nation turned their back on him, like America has turned its back on the Lord Jesus in the Bible, and we have to warn the nation continually. I remember over 25 years ago when I began to tell people about what was going to hit America because of her rebellion. And, you know, I remember when we would go out on the street and go downtown and speak about the things that could happen to this blessed nation, and we warn people, oh, they look at you like, you know, you're crazy, you're nuts, you know, you're fanatic, you're off. Can you imagine how Noah felt when he warned that nation? Can you imagine, brother, for preaching, 120 years?
Yeah. Wow.
Can you imagine Noah worked on a plan of deliverance and had a plan of salvation and deliverance for them that would hear and obey in his day? And he preached and warned and prophesied. And can you imagine the fun that they made of Noah? Can you imagine? It was a laugh. I can imagine people going by to see the old crazy man building on a boat, and time of destruction and judgment is coming, and they need to turn in, and God had a plan of deliverance and salvation to those that would believe. And do you imagine he kept preaching for all this time, and they kept laughing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they kept making jokes, and they kept going deeper in sin and iniquity. And they got so base and so perverse in the beginning, in Noah's generation, the Lord God came down and says, it grieves me. It grieves me that I have to destroy it. And it grieved the Lord. It sorrowed him to his heart. It said he repented that he had made man. And it means that he really regret that he had to destroy man. I mean, it brings grief and great agony that he has to let destruction to come upon when the people become so wicked and ripe in iniquity, as a fruit on a tree, when it gets rotten, it just falls. And so it grieved him to his heart that he had to, you know, destroy all of those people. And a lot of people think, well, even the Lord is a good God, and he's a loving God, and a merciful God, and a holy God, and a just God, and a compassionate God, But he also will not tolerate so much sin and iniquity. He has to respond because he's just as well as holy. And he gave Noah a message, a revelation, and I'm sure the Lord spoke to Noah during this 120 many times and revealed himself and spoke to Noah, because the Bible said Noah was a just and a perfect man in his day. And he found Noah. The earth was filled with wicked and iniquity like you've never seen before. He found one man and his family. And Noah, whose heart was turned to the living God, the true God, the creator of Adam, the creator of Enoch, and the creator of Abel and those that was righteous before him. And he found this one man, this one family, Noah, and perfect in his generation. And he gave him a message, and it gave him a warning. He could have just destroyed them without anything. He could just wiped them out. But he gave them a mercy. I call it a mercy call. And for this mercy call lasted for 120 years, this call of mercy. And the Lord was trying to give them mercy and compassion, even though he said that the earth was, in Genesis 6, it was filled with violence and crime and murder. But he gave out a mercy call. That's the way of our God. Yeah. Full of mercy. It's mercy. But he gave the mercy call and the grace call for 120 years. He worked on that boat. And the warning went on. And I just trying to figure out, how did this one man and his family was to endure all of this? For can you imagine, sometimes Christians, they get so discouraged that somebody to do something to them in one day, brother. I mean, they just get all upset and want to walk away from the Lord, somebody don't love me, somebody hurt me, my feelings, something like that. This just happened a couple of times. They walk, and some of them just want to walk away from the Lord. But this man had to endure for 120 years the mockery, the fun, the laughter, the jesting, the speaking evil and blasphemy against this man of God who was perfect. By God, Jesus, the God of creation, said he was just and perfect in his generation. And this man had a word from on high concerning the end of his generation, the end of the world as we knew it. Now we're facing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're facing the same dilemma that Noah, because Jesus warned us, as it was in the days of Noah, Matthew 20, as it was, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So when we see all of these plagues, they are wake-up calls. They are mercy calls, brother. I call them mercy calls. Okay?
Amen.
I call it, he's being merciful. He's trying to wake up a nations and nations. Now, China, I think one of the spiritual reasons was that there is a great move of the Holy Ghost in China, and a great move of God now in China. And China is persecuting those Christians and killing them and putting them in jail and doing all kind of torture to the underground churches in China who are coming to Christ by, they said, millions of underground Christians, Chinese, are coming to Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's good news.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a nation that was culturally perverse to Christian, born under a worship of, I don't know whatever they worship in their culture in Chinese, but I know Marxism has been their culture and socialism has been in their culture quite a while, and Leninism. And therefore, they was born in this situation, and they had no control of what they were born in. They were just born Chinese. They were born under this culture. So the Lord saw the goodness of those Chinese people like he see other people. He saw the goodness of their heart, and he sends deliverance and send the gospel there and send people to take the Bible there who put their lives. Many Americans and many other people came there, brought Bibles, put their lives on the line. Some of them were caught, some were killed, taking the Bible, and the Bible led to that land. I want to celebrate all those Christians who had the daring faith and the love of Jesus to put their lives on the line to take the gospels in places where they could be killed. They are my heroes. They are God's heroes. The people that do that. And now China is having a miraculous, supernatural Holy Ghost revival. And hundreds of thousands, it's in the millions, are coming to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so for that reason, they're not publishing in our American newspaper. You know, America, we don't publish stuff like that, you know. They don't publish about the move of the Holy Spirit and the move of God and the transforming power and the miraculous things going in the world. Our newspaper, they don't publish stuff like that. Look in your newspaper. Look in the New York Times. Look in the Tribune. Look in the Los Angeles Post. You don't see stuff on front. They're having a Holy Ghost move and a transformation of the living God. Oh, you don't see stuff like that.
No.
You're not going to see stuff like that. You're going to see all this other stuff. And so in Red China right now, in Communist China, the Lord is visiting the Chinese in a special way. And so I rejoice. But for this reason, they're not publishing it either. There's a great persecution and great persecution against the underground church of Chinese, and they're under great persecution by that communist Marxist government, and they're killing and martyring many of them and putting many in prison. And for this cause now, you notice the virus kind of centered right there in China.
Yeah.
So you keep messing with God's people, you can bring a whole lot of stuff on yourself. Is that right, brother?
Amen. Amen.
You keep messing with God's people and keep on messing with them, you're going to get a backlash from the living God. You got to be careful messing with the anointed of God. You messing with the anointed in Christ, the Bible said it might be better for you that you never been born. 18th chapter of Matthew. So you got to be careful for messing with the chosen anointed people of Christ and doing evil to them and speaking and just even speaking against them and working against them. The Bible said in the 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, you're offending my little ones. You said it might be better that you had a millstone tied about your neck and be cast in the sea, because you're doing a dangerous thing messing with God's people.
Amen. Amen.
So now it'll hit America. And see, the Lord had to allow this to happen to America. I've been telling people that it was coming. I told them about 3 months ago and 4 months that this greater, you're about to see a greater thing and talk about that's going to hit much greater than HIV. I've been telling them, I said, HIV is just a little touch of it. That was one little small plague. And that HIV, they paid it off. But it was a plague that hit the homosexual community and the drug community to try to let us know the results of sin. And you notice they try to hush out, they made it real quiet, this homosexual sin of HIV, because that's where it basically comes from. And notice how they quiet it, how they don't talk about it, because they want us to think that homosexual is normal. You see, they don't talk about the disease and the emotional traumas that's in it. You notice that they don't tell about all the disasters and the destruction going on in the HIV community. They only talk about what we call the other sins that's in the other people, but they don't talk about the sin and evil that's happened in the homosexual community. Great sin and great judgment and great sickness and all kind of suicide stuff are happening in the homosexual community, but they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that. Because they might think you think that homosexual is normal, and they don't want you to think that. They want you to think homosexual and all these other things are normal. So the psychiatrists and the doctors and everybody try to hush it down. Okay, now they're trying to make us believe that all these children who are coming now up saying that I'm a girl, but I'm in a boy's body. And so we find now that they're trying to promote us to believe, to accept this, that when these children come up now with the spirit of this curse has come up on them, and all of a sudden little 8-9-year-olds children are now saying, well, I'm a girl, I'm in a girl's body, but really I'm a boy. So now that devil is working for us to accept this. Then he got other people saying they are, how many, 7 or 8 different genders now?
Yeah. Wow, so many of them.
I can't name him. The devil is just really bringing confusion because he wants to mar the line. He wants to destroy the natural creative mind. And there's a reason he wants to, he don't want no more male and female. That's what God created. I said that's what God created. Now, God made male and female. Who's creating all this other stuff?
Yeah.
I said God made man, the first man, and he made them, first two people, male and female. And he made them in his image. So, now notice what he said. In their lack, the Lord created he them in his own image and likeness, male and female. Did you get that?
Right.
Did you get that? Now, that's very important because most people don't understand the depths of what Satan is trying to do. And so, when God created the first two persons, he definitely identified with them in his creation. He says, I make a man and a woman, and I make them male and female, and I brought the male and female together in marriage, in union. Well, here's how the enemy working. He wanted to create disorder and confusion.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is he wants to create the gender confusion and mock God's creation? See, when he changes the order of things in the original thing that God, he's mocking God. He's mocking God and deceiving man. He sent a spirit, and he sent this spirit in the world, Satan come from devil, and it's called a spirit of mockery, perversion, and deception. And it's hit the nations, just like it hit Babylon, Syria, it hit Persia, it hit all those nations in the world. The same spirit attacked, go back in history and look at all these nations, before they were destroyed, the same spirit hit them too. It even tried to come among Israel. And when it tried to invade Israel, the law of God says, listen, I want you to know what is abomination and what I reject, and you are not to learn their ways. And the first thing he told Israel, you are not to learn or follow their ways or their actions of these nations about you. You are not to partake of them. You're not to take their wives. You're not to partake of their ways, their culture, their gods. You're not to have anything to do with them, for you are my light shining to them in darkness and confusion. But the Israel will go a-hoeing after the gods, marry their women, and they start getting pervert and doing wicked things and offering up to devils and demons, and that's the same thing right now is invading the Christian church. He's trying to make the Christian church accept all this mess.
Yeah.
And he's doing a fair job. I say the devil is doing a fair job of convincing certain church Christian denominations to accept this deception. Okay? Now,
amen.
Our job is to expose the devil and his works. Okay? One part of the preacher and the prophet and the intercessors in this latter days is the same way in the former days, is to expose, reveal the works of the devil and the power of darkness and evil that he's trying to bring. The second part is to awaken people to the life of Christ and the redemption that is in Jesus, who died and suffered for them to redeem them from the darkness and sin. We are to give you the joy and the hope and the blessing of Christ to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the evil is cunning and is spreading all over the earth. In America, the great nation, who are Christian, who's supposed to be Bible Christians, who's supposed to be have a defense against all this evil because she has forsaken the Bible, forsaken the gospel, forsaken the standard of Christ. That's why she's being overtaken and overrun with all this evil. So, let me say this one thing. Do you not know when America was founded? We need to know the rich heritage when Jesus founded America, his special top nation, just like he founded Jerusalem and the Jews and before that as his top nation and chosen people. He came and founded the United States of America. When the Jews rejected the truth, and Jerusalem fall to sin and idolatry, the Lord turned to the west and founded another people. He still loves his chosen people, Israel, the natural seed, and made a covenant with them, but they failed. So he turned and established another nation to be the center of world deliverance, and this nation are the Western culture, but the main nation among them is the United States of America. She is just like Jerusalem was of old. She was just like Jerusalem of old, the center of world deliverance. But now he's turned to the West and established another nation, United States of America. United States of America, USA. Now, but she has did the same thing that Jerusalem of old did, falter, fail to these other gods. Now, you notice, brother, that when Mr. Obama got in, and just before Obama got in, you heard a key word from the older Bush when he went to the United Nations, and he made this address. This was a sign, this was a biblical sign given to us when Mr. Bush, President Bush, made this speech, and he kept saying these key words. What was the key words that he gave at the United Nations of the older Bush about world unification, nation unification, religious unification? America is a global nation, not only a Christian nation anymore. He's trying to bring us into this unity of being one under one flag and one God. Not the God of the Bible. Now, this is what people think he's talking about. Not the God of the Bible, not the religion of the Bible, not the order of the Constitution of America, but under another flag and another government. And that's going to be the unification church and unification religion, which is the spirit of the Antichrist and the beast. One world government, one world religion, one education system, program. Now, when the devil raised up Margaret Singer, who was brought in to kill all the babies, Margaret Singer was raised up to stop all the babies in the black community. So the great abortions started among the blacks because she wanted to cut the black babies out, just like in Israel when they want to kill all the babies in Israel Day. Now, I'm telling this truth because this is a natural fact. This is nothing that people don't know, but they don't want to talk about it. But I'm going to expose that devil. And that's my job.
Yeah.
And I'm going to blow the trumpet on the devil. I'm going to sound the alarm in all God's holy mind. And then I'm going to tell him the good news about Jesus, who come to recover and deliver us. And this is why we have the gospel in our mouth. This is why you blow your trumpet, brother, and a lot of people get mad when you're on a broadcast every week, and the devil just hates your guts.
Amen.
I said, you're not his favorite. The devil, you're not the devil's. You're only what you call his worst list. It's his worst 10 list, Brother Nate. When you blow too much trumpet and too much light up on that fellow, so he got you on this list.
Yeah.
Rotten,
Amen.
Filthy dog.
Amen.
He's a real rotten, filthy killer and murderer. And he's killing many of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and Far East and killing them, and they are martyrs for the Lord Jesus. They are laying down their life. And they are my heroes. They are my real heroes, brother. America is safe, and the Christians over here are convenient, and they don't suffer hardly anything. Let me go over it again so everybody know, so they can get real mad. Most of the Christians here are not suffering anything for Christ. Very few.
Yeah.
But my brothers in the East, Far East, and Middle East, they're paying the ultimate price for their faith.
Amen.
I said my brothers are dying, being persecuted and killed, being martyred, getting their head cut off on TV. The Muslims are cutting their heads off right before our eyes. This ain't just terrorists. This is the Sharia. This is what's in the Quran to kill the heretics, the infidels. That means all Christians. That's what the teaching of Islam is. And I'm not saying all Islam people are bad people, because God's going to save millions of Islam people. Jesus is going to save them And he's going to visit the Muslim people, because there are many good people among Chinese, Muslim, and all people. He's going to visit them and save and deliver and to redeem them. And he's going to deliver them from that harsh religion of deception. And just like he's doing to the Chinese, he's bringing them out of Marxism they were born in and the country. He is visiting them with the Holy Ghost and power and changing them. He's going to change Muslim. Muslim going to get saved by the millions, brother. Jesus is going to visit them in dreams and open visions and angels and revelation and send his word to the Muslim, and they're going to come out of that Islam stuff. They're going to be delivered. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
I said that's more than good news. Hallelujah. And brother, in a little while, you're going to see that a lot of homosexual, transsexual, adulteries, drug addicts is going to be saved by the thousands. Going to be delivered.
Hallelujah.
So let's glory to Jesus. I glory Jesus. I glory. For nothing
Amen.
Is too hard for you. And nothing is too difficult for you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus starts saying, do you know that in the late 60s when the segregation in the South, the demonstration and the racial hatred against blacks in the South, that the Lord starting a little bit are saving the Ku Klux Klan. Some of the Ku Klux Klan, they are saved from that racism demon. Some of them got saved and delivered, brother. The Ku Klux hatred demon, God Jesus saved some of them to be a witness that he can do all things. Ain't that good news?
Amen.
Ain't that good news?
And
more racists and neo-Nazis are going to get saved and redeemed from that awful demon. Hallelujah. Amen to Jesus. See, now, you know what the devil did in South Carolina when he sent that white young man, confused, demonized, went in that church and killed all those black people?
Yeah.
See, the devil want to start race riots to destroy people so they won't hear the gospel. But you know what the Lord did when that young move went in there and killed all those black people in South Carolina? The Lord gave his relatives grace to forgive them. See the Lord, look at the miracle. He killed all those black people in the church, sitting there at the church, this white guy, this white youth, deranged under the demonic influence. He wanted to start a race riot. But it didn't work. I said, it didn't work, brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those black Christians and their families forgave the young man and prayed for his soul. As he killed all them black church people, they turned around and forgave him and gave him mercy. The devil was so mad. The devil was so upset, Brother Nate. He almost had a fit.
Yeah.
I guess you could have gave him some aspirin and keep the devil from having a heart attack. He was so messed up and mad when he saw that forgiveness and mercy coming, because he wanted a race riot and destruction to come out from that. But the Lord just turned the tide on that mess. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what the Lord's going to do? And I'm going to tell you this, and this is the thing that people don't like to hear, but my mouth is made and fit to blow the trumpet in Zion. He is going to he's going to save and deliver and redeem men of the Mormons people who are in a form of witchcraft, and some of them have racism teaching, and the Lord's going to save many of them. We find racism is always, and witchcraft and sexism is always in the occult. Whenever you find in the occult, you're going to find perversion and racism and bigotry and sex perversion going on. I'll say this again. Did you get that, brother?
Amen.
Do we get that? I say you're going to find these three things in a false religion and in a cult. Do you know that Islam, in the beginning, was racist against black people? I'm talking about Muhammad.
Yeah.
Secondly, when Muhammad was 12 or 13 years old, he was raised by a Catholic stepmother. I said a Catholic stepmother.
Hmm.
That's why Islam and Catholicism are twin sisters. in many ways. Now, Catholicism was racist in the beginning, just like most all the occults are. And that's why you feel so much sex going on in the Roman Catholic. They've been molesting these boys for centuries. See, you're always in a cult going to find three things. There's sexual molestation and perversion going on. They've been raping these young boys. If you wanted to be a priest, you go there, you had to be sexually molested by the priest, and they were having babies all in the Catholic Church for centuries. They were perverts. We had homosexual popes and everything. And now this is in other religions, too. It hit some other religions, too, but not like it hit the Catholic Church, the spirit. These spirits always come with a false religion and a cult. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can go on, but I'm going to tell you about the good news about Jesus, what he does. He turned the tide on the devil. I'll give you an example. America was on the road to destruction, and I want to tell you what the Lord did when he wanted to turn the tide, and this is what he's going to do in this crisis that America's in now. Now, in the 19th century, something happened, for the Lord wanted to turn the tide from America coming out of the Western. The West was winning the West. It was so much violence and murder during the West, so many in conquering the West. So it was very ungodly in many places in the West when God conquered the Western America in the Western days. And it was so much, you know, just ungodliness. So during the beginning in 1879, the Lord God raised up something to change the tide of America. It's called the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky. Now, the Lord know how to turn the tide on the devil.
Yeah.
On the 1880s, 79, he raised up two men. One of them was named, let me think of his name because I don't have the notes because I wasn't planning on talking on this. I really plan on talking this, brother. This is F. Ladd. I hadn't planned this. This two men, one named Father Nash, one named Abel, and they prayed in intercession and fasted for days and weeks and going in the forest would cry out for God to send revival. And the people, they prayed so loud that the town could hear them pray. Now here's the thing, brother. When these two men would go to the forest and they start interceding, praying and crying so loud and weeping so long that the Lord would send deliverance, one of them was named Father Nash, one was a priest, and one was, name of Abel. These two men would fast and pray, and they would go out into the forest, into the wood, and they would cry out. They would cry out unto the Lord till the whole town could hear them, hear their voices. And the Lord didn't say, y'all too loud, brother. Y'all crying too loud. I can't hear you.
Yeah.
Did you get that?
Did you get that?
They cried so loud that the whole town could hear them praying. They could hear them in the night weeping and crying for America to send deliverance and send revival. These men went on for weeks and weeks crying out that they'd be out in the forest and they could hear their voices crying mighty to God and weeping and travailing. The people said in the town, they could hear them travailing for the Lord to break a chain. They could hear these men. They were so loud, and of course, their voice was so concerned and so definitely travailing that the Holy Ghost had them travailing and weeping and crying so loud that even the towns could hear them in the night crying and weeping. And of course, the Lord, being a very sensitive person, he said, y'all talking too loud. Y'all praying too loud. Y'all messing my eardrums up. Some people believe that, you know, the Lord is kind of a confused. If these two men are all praying, that was confusion, you know.
Right.
I know. You know, the Lord can only hear you when you're quiet.
Right.
Uh-huh. I just thought I'd get that out there, just in case somebody wanted to get mad. They wept and they cried, brother. And they interceded and they cried out for weeks and they'll be out in the forest. They say they'll be out there for like days and weeks crying and weeping before God. until finally an answer came from heaven, and it called the Cane Ridge Revival in Kentucky. You should read about that. Then the West was changed, began to be changed. America and West in America. Early 1900 in L.A., California, people and different ones from Parham and Topeka, Kansas, and people in Houston had been praying and seeking the Most High that he'll return the church back to the Book of Acts days. And a black man from Houston who came to L.A., he wanted actually to see revival of the apostolic church to come back to the earth. And so this black man named William Seymour finally wound up in L.A. And out of that, he began to meet a group of people, maybe five or six people, who got in a house. And five people began to yearn for the old Holy Ghost apostolic revival. They began to pray and fast for days and weeks in this house. And if you want to read about what took place at the Azusa Street in 1903, L.A., you're going to see one of the most amazing stories how America is changed and turned around and delivered by these two events, the Cane Ridge Revival and the Azusa Street Revival. And not only that, another revival, because God always works in two and threes. I said, the Lord always do things in two and threes. A Wales revival, Evan Roberts in Wales, began to mock during the 1903, just during the time of the Azusa Street. And these Wales and revival and the Azusa Street, they kind of came together, one from the other continent, one to America. This black man, William Seymour, who began to initiate, along with other people who were also praying, but in a house of about five people began to weep and do what they did in Cane Ridge Revival. And this went on for weeks in that house. And they fasted and sought the Lord for the apostolic act of the Book of Acts to come. Something happened to these people who were hungry for God, hungry. America is not hungry for God, Brother Nate, as a whole. Can I say that again?
Amen.
I say America is not hungry for God, not for the true and the living God, not for Christ. Other nations are hungry for the living God, for freedom, for liberty, delivered from tyranny, from oppression, from disease, from hunger. They are hungry. That's why the Lord is moving so greatly overseas, because they are hungry. America, we mostly pacified with religions and a little, you know, churchism. But we're not really hungry. The majority of people, that's a few people are. That's a very few people are. But the majority of them are the Christian church, what they call it, they're not hungry for the living God. They're not hungry to see what happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And with the Cane Ridge Revival and the Azusa Street in 1906 and 1903, when the revival hit that place in L.A., that turned America and the world around. I want to celebrate how the Lord began to turn America around. There was a revival hit in the 1880s on Wall Street in New York City. Oh, the Lord know how to turn things around.
Amen.
He know how to vivid his people. They that hunger after and begin to cry out. There was a man on Wall Street. We need to know how that Wall Street got to be called Wall Street, the financial center. We need to know how that happened. They got to be called Wall Street. There was a man in New York City and wanted to have a prayer at noonday and wanted to call all the business people and the people to come to pray. He couldn't get nobody to come but just a few people. But that's a story about how the Lord is working to turn America around. Hallelujah. See, even though Mr. Trump may be doing a good thing and helping the economy a little bit, it won't solve America's greatest need. Did you hear what I say?
Amen.
That will not solve America's greatest need, spiritual need, which is spiritual. And America will never be great again without the spiritual change. I don't care how much jobs you get. I don't care how much taxes money you get. America will never be great in the eyes of God. It may be great in your eyes because y'all getting a little extra money and a little job. But it will never be great in the eyes of the living God until there is a spiritual change. Can you hear me?
Amen. Amen.
See, the crust of all evil is the spirit to change the heart of men. So getting more money is not going to change your heart and not going to change the evil, nor the immorality, nor the rebellion. Hallelujah. They just got more money to spend on evil, most of them. Amen.
Yeah.
So you give, you know, good people get good jobs, but most of the time, unredeemed people, ungodly people, you know, they're grateful for the job, but all they do is mostly use it, go to Las Vegas and Atlanta and all these other evil things. Okay. Not all of them, bro, just some of them.
Right. Right.
But the change that we need is from the spiritual realm. That's where the victory, where Satan want to keep us thinking about just jobs, jobs, jobs. That will not make America great in the eyes of God. Money never make a nation great in the eyes of God. Money of itself. Greed and the love of money cause nations to be destroyed because they'll do anything to get money and power. Political power, social power, financial power, whatever power you want, people will do anything many times to get it. So if you want this disaster that's coming up on America to be changed, we want to save America, let's go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Brother, we're going to read this, and then we're going to invite the sisters. You're not going to keep these floods. Brother, I received so many back here. I see so many floods and volcanoes. I saw back here months ago, saw these volcanoes and earth, and unlevel of the earth, and the Arctic circles, the floods that's coming, and the droughts that's about to hit America, and see these waves, and they're going to be increased so greatly. We think this virus is something terrible. You haven't even seen if we don't repent and turn to God and Christ. You haven't seen nothing if we don't humble ourselves and repent and cry mercy and ask God to forgive us and redeem us and deliver us and return back to the Bible and God. If we don't turn as a nation, brother, they haven't seen anything yet. Huh, glory. I said they haven't seen a tip of the iceberg what's about to come if they don't humble themselves and return back to the book of Acts revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The book of Acts, church. If we don't turn back and turn from our wicked and ungodly and perverse ways that are hitting this nation, hallelujah, and said, Lord, save to the uttermost. Jesus, save to the uttermost. Deliver us from this evil that we allowed ourselves to come upon us, that we have embraced with joy. Some people has embraced this evil and this what they call liberty. There's a spirit in America called, first in the 60s, they called it free love. And then it says, then another spirit hit them, LSD, and then another spirit in the late 60s hit it called feminism. That's why you see all this perversion. After 1960, you begin to see all this perversion between men and women here in America. This spirit is called perversion, abortion, and then another spirit hit racism. And see, this spirit of perversion called feminism movement made women turn to women and say, well, we don't like men anymore, we like women. Oh, you're a liar, devil. Whoa. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell on you, devil, and expose you, and then tell them the better way, that Jesus has provided a way to his great love. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you want America to be saved, delivered, and be made great in the eyes of God, the living God, the creator of America, Jesus Christ, the founder of America, who established this nation for his own purpose, for his own purpose, to be a light to the nation, the center of world deliverance. Let's see if you want America really to be great in the eyes of the living God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says what?
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble
themselves
and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
I don't think we quite understood about that promise of turning things around and transforming a nation and delivering a nation from darkness, which it is fallen into idolatry and greed and wickedness, and serving of flesh and serving of money and power and sex and perversion and unrighteousness, having no rules. The only rules they got is whatever make you feel good, it's all right. That's their rule. But there is no absolute. Whatever make you feel good, that's all good. That's what America's coming to. Hallelujah. Maybe you want to read that one more time, Brother Nate. So maybe somebody's kind of deaf and they need a hearing aid and they want to hear that again. That, and this not only applies to America, it applies to every nation on the earth. Read on.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
What are the three things that he say he'll do, the four things that he'll do, to change, to transform, to deliver our nation from the judgment and wrath of God? What are the three things he's saying that we have to do?
First, humble ourselves, and he said pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Brother, I don't care how much the International Financial and the World Bank and Wall Street says everything is good.
Yeah.
When Wall Street collapsed in one day, in 1 hour, America is going to weep. When a Wall Street is getting ready to fall, because they're trusting in Wall Street as a sign of prosperity. See, they're looking for the sign of prosperity. So that's why everybody says, oh, look at our economy. Look at our job. You're being deceived. You're being deceived. There's no deliverance from Wall Street, from the wrath and the judgment of God. You're being deceived, America. Jobs is nice and good. It will not save nor deliver, nor it will not lift the wrath and the judgment of God against sin and wickedness. Only you falling on your knees. Read that again, brother. 1, 2, 3, 4. If my people that are called by who? By my name.
Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Wow. Is that the real antidote?
Amen.
Okay. We got one more scripture before we turn. Now, here's what's keeping America from being destroyed. Because a lot of people are wondering why Russia has not invaded, why God has not let China invade it, which they're coming, and North Korea and Islam, who are already in America, why he has not let them destroy America, why he's holding her back from the brink of destruction. I'm going to give you the reason why, one of the reasons why America has not been destroyed yet. Thank God for his mercy and compassion. But I wanted to turn to Ezekiel, brother. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, beginning at verse 28 to the verse 30.
And the word said, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus said the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken.
What are these, a lot of these ministers you hear on TV, what kind of message are they giving to people? Is it the gospel message of the apostles and Jesus of old, or is it a hybrid, a mixed mingle, threaded message about all about prosperity, basically, and that God just going to overlook your sins and your iniquity because they don't preach against sin and wickedness and ungodliness. They preach about the benefits of just getting things and things and things on the earth. And that's a sign that God is with you by getting all these things. Yeah, well, let's go and read that verse again, brother, what they be preaching and teaching now. Why you think judgment got to begin at the house of God first? The cleansing got to come to the house of God first. The awakening got to come to the Christians because they have compromised the faith of the gospel. Now, it got to come. That's why you see all these ministers, oh, they're great, they're great. You feel on TV, well, I ain't going to make no remark. We're going to read what Ezekiel says. Read that again. Start that again, brother. Ezekiel 22.
And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, thus said the Lord God, when the Lord have not spoken. People of the land have used oppression, have exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, say the Lord God.
Well, what do you think about that? What's holding America to pieces, holding America together? And this is why you see that a lot of the things are being held back off America. The winds, because of the remnant of people, a small remnant of people within her, Kikoloshata, a small remnant of faith and committed in America, are holding America. They're interceding and standing in the gap. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I said they are standing, interceding, and standing in the gap, holding back. Holding back. Holding back. Holding back. But you're going to see things worse than coronavirus. If we don't, hallelujah, help Lord Jesus, help Lord, awaken. All right, is any of our sisters out there, this is Friday and they be, I understand they're with their families, their loved ones, they're going places, some of them on missionary journeys, some of them are going on with the extension of their work, so we know that Sister Helen, she's a roving missionary, helping people and ministering to people. And Sister Anderson and Brother Anderson, they often on the weekend, they've been working, so they're moving with their families, their loved ones, or sometimes they're just going on a dinner or going places, or visiting people. So we know they may not be out there.
They own now, brother. God bless you, sister.
Oh, well, welcome. We welcome you. As we were sharing and speaking and just having a conversation about the present condition and chatting about these things, I was doing most of the chatting, though. But we want to mention that Brother Parker lost his beloved daughter. I think she had struggled for quite a little while with the cancer, and that she passed away, Brother Parker's Misty. And so our prayers and our deep sorrows and grief for the loss of your loved one, Brother Parker, and your family. And may the Lord comfort you, console you, and lift you for the loss of your loved one and your daughter. And we don't always comprehend
everything about why God, permit some people are taken early. But I do know this, that as long as we're in the arm of Jesus, it's okay. As long as we went to be with Christ, it's okay. It's okay from a God's point of view. I know we miss, from us, we weep and sorrow and lost stuff. And I was just thinking about one of my beloved uncles about 3 months ago. He had, passed of cancer. I used to go and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he had lived a life. He was, 90, so. But he, was taken with cancer, but he lived a long time. He was in the 90s. And I would go over and talk to him. And hallelujah. And so we'll have, conversations. And he refused them to continue to treat him with that stuff. They want to treat him. He said, no, you're not going to treat me with that stuff. I'm just going to sit here and just wait and go and be with the Lord. So, my father, he lived in 83, cancer took him and my beloved uncle. But we know, of course, that we have to leave. We're going to leave here, but I gave a little article today on Facebook about leaving and people that leave the earth and maybe some of the reasons why that some people may leave this way, that way, and that way. So that we may get a little bit insight why sometimes people leave early, some people leave long time, some people prayers are not answered in the way they want them to answer, and why some people are healed and delivered and extended, and why some people's lives are not extended, and some people are extended, and some people are healed, and some are made well. So we don't always understand fully why. We just get a hint. We get a little small hint from the Bible about something, why some things happen. But the main thing is, the main point is, that the people make ready to meet the Lord and they're with the Lord. That's the main point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Brother, we got about 12 minutes, brother.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, dear sisters, handmaiden night, take over.
Amen. Well, I just thank and I praise the Lord for just listening to the history, giving us blessings, a lesson, giving us that eye salve and full of soap. I thank and I praise the Lord for that little conversation because it was very informative. And I thank God for it. And I wasn't able to be on the broadcast last night. We went up to see some of the kids, and thank God, my son had sent me a message from someone that he worked with that she wanted me to pray for her son that had been shot 7 times.
Wow.
And the Lord, pull him through. So
praise,
I let you know
that
the Lord had given him, it was a reason that the Lord brought him through this, and he needed to come out of what he was in and repent and give his life over to the Lord.
Amen.
He was shot 7 times. Now, today, he's doing well, and I thank God for it.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, sis.
All right. I also thank the Lord for the word that went forth on tonight, and I got in on listening to Brother Lee's psalm last night in my phone act up, so I turned it back on and listened to it today and continued on through this broadcast. And, and I just thank the Lord, for his word, that went for.
Amen.
All right, Missionary, what you been doing? You been going to the Australia or Wales somewhere, sister? You'd be quite busy and going.
Sometime I'd be gone, but I didn't go to Atlanta this week. I didn't go with them to Atlanta, I've been bothered with this kind of like a little allergy thing, all the collar and stuff, the falling hair, you had my eyes running,
Oh, yeah.
kind of talking out the nose, you know.
Okay.
I was off today for spring break and off Monday for spring break. I had to work all the week, you know. So they just let us off today and Monday for all of spring break. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know when I lived in Mississippi, when I was a little baby, I used to have these allergies in the summertime. And these weed, pollen or tree allergies, whatever they had them, that will used to affect me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hopefully that maybe you'll send Brother Parker a card or a mail, a mix each one to tell him hearts and prayers and consolation with him for the loss of his loved ones, his daughter, Misty, and our hearts and our prayers goes out to him, for she fought, quite a while, she now is gone the way of all flesh, and hallelujah to Jesus that she met the Lord at the gate. So.
Amen.
And now the life must go on. So praise the Lord. We're looking for a great, great supernatural miracle to take place in the Church of Christ, the restoration this year, praying that a supernatural turnabout and miracle will come.
Amen.
And that I've been reading the word of the Lord, the angel's message of talking about the 48 message that the angel bring about the signet one.
Yes.
In the beginning of my coming to Christ and coming to the Church of Christ, I would often consecrate and fasting. Now, we're going to get back. The humbling is called about fasting and praying and interceding and travailing. And travailing as a woman giving birth, the interceding by the Holy Spirit in our lives, travailing. Listen, I was asking the Lord one time, and I was sitting at the table years ago, I said, who is this signet one, Lord? And I had this, I was praying and seeking the Lord, and I had the dreams. I had this dream, and I saw, but he would not, I couldn't, in the vision dream, he would not let me see his face. So, because I would ask the Lord, you know how you come to the Lord, your face is so daunting, you just ask the Lord everything, you know, okay, I believe. I just, you know, you just don't know how to doubt. So I was asking about the signet one that is supposed to come to disperse this confusion.
Uh-huh.
And hallelujah.
Amen.
And about the choice here. And you see, this confusion is upon the restoration. And it's, you know, also upon the, you know, the Elijah message group. And that has to come a real, real, real shaking and awakening about this confusion that Satan has caused. Because this confusion is going to go around the world and it's going to cause people to be in confusion. And the Lord is not a man, a God of a confusion. It is man's way and Satan. So we'll be praying to the Lord to destroy this confusion and that he'll send a signet one, a message for it, that he'll put this confusion down because it's sort of in a confusion as we go, you know, about, you know, the messenger and so forth, which we'll talk about a little later about the messenger coming or the messenger is not coming. Everyone's going to have to make a decision about that, whether they want to or not, one way or the other.
Amen.
So I'm praying mightily for Willie Coffee, and for Larry and Norm and all of them and myself and all, that we will know the truth of what God is doing and put down confusion. So let's pray that the Lord would just rebuke this confusion and stop this confusion, whether this it is, because this has happened quite a few times in the Church of Christ when this somebody says that the Lord is coming to them, the message is coming, you know, stuff like that, and it was not so. So let's believe God that he will verify and authenticate and put down all confusion.
Yes.
So as we pray tonight, wherever you are, if you want Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, you can say today is my day. You can say, I'm willing to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ who died on the cross and rose again. I say yes to Jesus. Save me a sinner. Come into my life. Transform me. Save me. Be my Lord and my master. I trust you. Died and rose again. I put my trust in you today. He will come if you honestly say that from your heart. Come into my life. I trust you. You are Savior, my Lord. He will start you on a road to recover. You need to go be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ with authority of the Son of God, and that the Holy Spirit take over your life. Those three things are important in the gospel, and he will derive you. He will lead you wherever path he wants you. You ask him, what path should I take? What shall I go? He, the Holy Spirit, will make you to know, and you will know from God, not just from man. So if you, and everybody in every nation that's suffering, we're praying that the gospel of deliverance and awakening will come to you, just like it's coming to underground church in China. He's hitting and moving in India, Indonesia, and he's saving the Muslims by hundreds coming to Christ. And so we're glad about that. America needs a revival. America needs a spiritual awakening. America needs a Zuka Street revival. America needs the Wales revival. America needs the Cane Ridge revival. We need it. We desire it. We need the apostolic revival of the second chapter of Acts. We need it. We need it, Jesus. We need the apostolic of the Acts 2 and 4. We need that more than anything, the restoration of the apostolic faith. We need the restoration of all things. Hallelujah. The Book of Acts Church. The apostolic order of Peter, James, and John. We need it again. We want it again. It is the saving deliverance of our homes, our children, and of our nation. Lord, we cannot. Elijah proved God was real in his day. The prophet Elijah, the prophet stood and proved that Jehovah was God. Now we have to prove that Jesus is Lord and the only wise God. Now, Lord, send the Holy Ghost. Spiritual awakening, revive us in the midst of this week. Shake us, awake us, loose us, and bring us again to the altar of sacrifice laid. Lord, we dedicate, we recommit our lives that you'll bring a holy awakening, a holy spiritual awakening, a wave of glory, a wave of power to show that the devil is a defeated liar. In the name of Jesus, let the kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Let the kingdom of God consume the evil one and destroy it and take it away in Jesus' name. Loose the captive, open the prison eyes, heal the lands of many nations that's called on you, and deliver them from the power of tyranny, because many nations and many people are under oppression, Lord, and you come to set the captive free. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, giving us one more day. One more hour, one more opportunity to lift up the gospel and this bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ to the love of God, wherever nation you're in, Lord, hear their cry. Hear their cry, those weeping children, those mothers. Oh, the crying of the children and the weeping mothers. Oh, Jesus. Oh, turn your eyes upon them, Lord Jesus, and give us compassion that we might reach out and reach out to the tear-stained, broken, wounded people in every nation, whether it's in India, Indonesia, whether it's in Syria, whether it's in Haiti, whether it is any of the lands. Give us a compassion that go beyond our self-needs. In the Holy Ghost name of Jesus, Lord, send the waves of Pentecost again. The angel messenger says in Message 85, Pentecost must come. Pentecost must come. Pentecost must come. The word of the Lord says it. The Bible says it. I believe it, and I'm seeking for it. Pentecost must come again. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Book of Acts, must come again. It will come again today that honestly seek and cry out to you, Lord. Let it come again. Let it come again. America is on the brink of destruction and judgment. Let it come again. Save this nation from the top to the end, to the first, to the beginning. Oh, Lord, revive the churches. Revive religious our houses, religious our education, our government, religious our streets and our nation. Vivid us again, Holy Jesus. Rid us the evil. Rule out the evil. Cut out the seed of corruption. And bring us to the love of God in Christ. Purify us and sanctify us. Send the washing of the word through the blood. And make us ready for your coming, Lord, to put on the brighter garments. We need to put on the brighter garments, O Lord, to be delivered from our own traditions and our own man-made thinking. Oh, let the book of Acts come again in the name of Jesus. Let it come again. And we thank you for it.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord.
Praise
the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. For another blessed broadcast today. Thank God for all of you been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, another broadcast from Heart to Heart. Praise be to God. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. We thank God for all of you, and thank God for what you're doing in your life, the life of your family, for Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Tig, and Sister Anderson. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you.
God bless you.
God bless.
We give you glory. We give you glory.